Hey, Cryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. I'm your host, Jake Jabberoli, with my co-host, Blockchain John, here on episode 527 on Wednesday. This is Sunday. Sunday, June 25th, 2023. And we'll be hitting up on Pacific Bitcoin first. But how's it going, John?
Good. It was a busy weekend. it's all, like, meshed together. I went to two different events over the weekend. It was Super Happy Dev House, which is like a hosting hacker space. Right? Yeah, everybody meets up. That was pretty cool. And of course, Hacker Dojo Lightning Talks. Oh. And there was another AI hackathon going on. And I went to Hack Comedy, which these are comedians that travel around the states and just make people laugh. You know, it's. I've never actually sat down in one of these things. They show up every month, once a month here, at Hacker Dojo, and these guys are funny, man. They're really, really funny. So that was great that I got to just break out of my norm and just go get a little bit of entertainment right there. That was fun.
Cool. That's awesome. Yep. I would say I had, well, it was an incredibly uneventful weekend. I've been really, really busy with work, with the day job, but my mom came by on Saturday. I haven't seen her in like 6 months, so it was kind of nice to catch up.
Nice. That's good.
She was visiting my brother who lives in Reno. So, anyways, Pacific Bitcoin coming up October 5th and 6th, 2023 this year in Los Angeles, California at Santa Monica Airport in the hangar there. It's a big entertainment space. Apparently they use the hangar for entertainment instead of for planes and blimps. Anyways, it's a big kind of festival, Bitcoin only, since apparently the Bitcoin conference that ever happens in Miami is veered off of the Bitcoin only aspects. Tickets for this event are pretty much set here, about $550 fiat, weirdly enough. And then, of course, you can get the VIP ticket for like six times as much. There'll be a lot of Bitcoin related stuff going on, but it's Bitcoin only. So if you're going to be bringing anything else to the, like Ethereum or Dogecoin, they're probably going to frown upon your interactions with that. So Bitcoin it only. Bitcoin.
I just want to plug in a little extra thing. So if, sure. Since this is sponsored by Swan, right? Swan, every single day, Monday through Friday, early in the morning, I think it's 7 to 9 a.m., they do a Twitter space. So if you want to get a feel of what Pacific Bitcoin is going to be, just jump into one of their Twitter spaces and just listen to it. You'll truly understand what I mean when...
If you're awake, say, like, between Bitcoin 7 and 9 in the morning, that's great. I know John is because he's got a job that has him up at that time in the morning, but I'm rarely awake until 9. So, but yeah, if you're awake at 9, go for it. Or before 9, I should say. I know people commute still, so it's not impossible. Also, the Bitcoin Conference 2024 will be happening in Nashville, July 25th through 27th. That will be at the end of July, but it's also, you know, it's almost July now, so it's still about a year off. That you can buy in, or buy tickets in, currently in Satoshis, or I guess Bitcoin, technically. About $1 million for the cheap stuff, $2.5 million for the industry standard, and about $15 million for the Whale Pass, which is the VIP pass. So, yes, you can also pay fiat, but it is a Bitcoin conference, which still wears me out. The Pacific Bitcoin Conference doesn't let you pay in... I mean, maybe they do. They just don't advertise it that way. In any case, let's get on to the news of the day. Or the news of the weekend. give us the lowdown, John.
All right. This week on Crypto Twitter, more BlackRock banter as Ripple and Crypto.com grow globally. From the market perspective, crypto's biggest talking point this week was a carryover from last week. Top investment firms BlackRock's decision to apply to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for approval of a Bitcoin spot ETF. While the SEC has swatted away such proposals like flies for years, there's a sense that this one's different. It helps that BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager with a whopping $9 trillion in asset under management, has applied for 576 ETFs and has only been rejected once. That air of experience and confidence helped propel the price of Bitcoin to a one-year high this weekend. Footage of BlackRock CEO Larry Fink made the rounds in which he explains just how much of a PR boost his company's Bitcoin pivot is. And there's a tweet there from Bitcoin Archives. Business analyst and popular crypto fan Adam Cochran brought an unofficial BlackRock NFT to commemorate the occasion. And there's another tweet there with literally black rocks. Jesus, come on, man. Can you be a little more unique than that?
Oh, we remember the gift, the rock gifts yeah. that came as NFTs? This makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's the exact same shape. All they did was just paint them black. Man. Remember, those were free gifts.
Oh, I remember. I do remember explicitly. That's the reason I think they're doing the same thing here. Like, hey, we're going to sell stuff that didn't cost us more than maybe 30 minutes worth of work. We'll sell them for $1 million a piece, and you will buy them because you love it.
BlackRock news may have caused crypto prices to balloon this week, but as usual in the cryptoverse, there was also a fresh heap of skepticism. Earlier in the week, Cochran could be seen giving his 2 cents on a proposal by Ethereum's developers to up the stakes needed to be a network validator from 32 ETH to 2048. Yeah, I don't know. 32 ETH is kind of already expensive for the general population.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now good. You're talking about 2,000?
That's a lot
crazy.
More.
Crypto sleuth Zach XBT on Monday shared some of his toxic harassment he has had to face from people trying to exploit him as supporters rally around his legal defense fund. Ouch. Ouch. Sad. Sorry about that, Zach. Blockchain journalist Colin Wu tweeted about an interesting glitch that briefly happened on Binance.us. A formerly unshakable Binance is being sued by the SEC for securities violation. And cracks appeared in its public image after the SEC leaked incriminating chat logs of company personnel discussing how they were apparently aware the exchange was violating security laws. Ooh. Like fellow U.S. company Coinbase, Ripple is on the global expansion drive right now, and it has everything to do with SEC's crackdown on domestic blockchain companies. And there's a tweet there. Bitcoiners notched another high profile, another convert in Washington on Thursday. There you go. U.S. Congressman Thomas Massey getting hashtag Bitcoin books hand-delivered to his office. Yes, actually, there's a little more than just that. Everybody on Monday got a Bitcoin book. You know, there's 3 different books that were distributed, and that was one of them. CNBC's Mad Money host Jim Cramer had a small rant that day. Cramer was once all in crypto, but appeared to cool off just a little last summer. And there's Jim Cramer. He says, "Understand, I am not against crypto and done quite well with it. I am against bogus crypto and outfits that stole your money and wouldn't let you have it back." Sure, buddy. Singapore-based exchange Crypto.com on Saturday announced that it has made inroads in Europe. And let's see. Okay, well, there you go. Crypto.com is now in Europe. Alex Gladstein, the chief strategy officer of the Human Rights Foundation, shared a video that day from his organization that warns the public about the concerning implications of a centrally issued digital currency, something that could spell the total end of financial independence for people living under authoritarian regimes. All right. If you guys want to watch that video, there it is from Alex Gladstein. There's a on his Twitter account. A lot of big companies are dabbling in crypto now, according to a collaborative report by Coinbase and The Block. That was tweeted by the latter's editor, Frank Shapiro, on Sunday. Finally, President Joe Biden had this to say about everyone's favorite crypto-adjacent topic. Here it is. President Biden tweets, "We'll see more technological change in the next decade than we saw in the last 50 years. Artificial intelligence is already driving that change. We're committed to safeguarding folks' safety, from protecting privacy to addressing bias and disinformation, blah, 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 blah."
Yeah, we'll see about that, Mr. President. I mean, maybe America's privacy overall, but I think I always get the impression that when he's talking about protecting people's privacy, he's talking about protecting rich people's privacy.
Mm. You got a point there.
Yeah. You got money, you can get out of a lawsuit. You got money, you will probably not go to jail right away, if at all. Or if you do go to jail, it won't be for very long. Look at Michael Cohen. Anyways, this week in coins. Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Wait,
you want to talk about something else? My bad. Yeah, sorry. I forgot about the...
I forgot about it, too. Okay.
This week in coins, Bitcoin and Ethereum rally hard post-BlackRock. They rallied hard on BlackRock? Anyways, they got hard on a rock. The recovery that began last week after U.S. inflation appeared to cool hits its stride this week as markets continue to reverberate from the bombshell of the world's largest asset manager, BlackRock, filing an application to the SEC for Bitcoin's Spot Exchange-Traded Fund, or ETF. Dozens of companies have applied for ETFs, and dozens have been rejected. To date, not a single Bitcoin Spot ETF has been approved by the crypto-skeptic SEC, despite the fact that the Canadian regulators have approved many of them. But that's Canada, right? It's America's hat. The stakes are high, apparently as high as America's hat. A spot ETF would offer investors the chance to buy into Bitcoin and either ride the gravy train or go to hell in a handbasket. You can't see me flipping you off, but I am. But in the latter, they'll be safe in the knowledge that their investment is protected, unlike those who purchase and store crypto directly, like us. People who keep their crypto to themselves, like they should. Not your keys, not your crypto, buy our shirt. If anybody has a chance of getting an ETF approved, it's BlackRock. The firm boasts an incredible $9 trillion, as we talked about earlier, and the fact that they've pretty much gotten every single ETF they've ever asked for approved. Except one. We don't know what that is. The news inspired two more U.S. asset managers, WisdomTree and Invesco, which we talked about on Wednesday, which have both previously applied for their own ETFs to file fresh ETF applications again this week. Valkyrie followed suit shortly thereafter. Bitcoin and Ethereum both surged this week. The world's biggest biggest cryptocurrency shot up 18% to its current price of roughly $30,500, while the biggest runner-up afterwards only rose 12.7%, still better than 10%, to about $1,890 at the start of the weekend. Here's a chart for that. Investors flooded into cryptocurrencies this week as well. In fact, most of the top 30 cryptocurrencies by market cap shot up double-digit percentages. That would be at least 10% or more. There were no losses among the major unbacked coins. Bitcoin Fork, Bitcoin Cash, ballooned 80.5%. I felt that. It's very nice. Over the last 7 days, and currently trades at $192.90. Regulation and expansion. While all eyes were on the SEC and big asset managers this week, there were a couple of other stories that indicated a steady adoption of crypto is continuing around the world. United Kingdom, central bank digital currency trial project backed by the Bank of England, of course, a central bank, published its findings, concluding that a centrally issued sterling-pegged digital currency could, quote, enable a robust economy to foster innovation and to help meet the future needs of more digitalized society, end quote. Yeah, well, they got their nose up their own butt, so not surprising. The project, dubbed the Project Rosalind, emphasized the programmability of crypto through smart contracts, which facilitate automatic payments and enable new kinds of online transactions. On Monday, British parliamentarians in the House of Lords, upper chamber that is, voted through the Financial Services and Markets Bill, a piece of legislation that proposes regulation for stablecoins, crypto, and crypto promotion. Hey, at least they're doing something about it. The SEC is still sitting on their thumbs. The bill has already passed the House of Commons and has made it through the final stages. The consideration of amendments were both chamber debate of the proposals and tighten the screws until they both agree. The final stage requires a signature from King Charlie himself. Can we call him King Chuck? Does that sound weird?
Chuck.
Well, he's KC3, right? KC3.
The British Parliament's, and then in the House of Lords, it says upper chamber. Is that like an equivalent to the Supreme Court's?
No. No, they're the House of Lords and House of Commons are just kind of like, the two halves of like the U.S. House. The you know instead of the Senate, it's not like because they both meet in the same room. They're part of the same legislature.
Okay.
So they're not like the Senate and the House. They're like the gigantic House version. It's just the room's smaller. Out of their parliamentary debate, it still means that basically there are two opposing groups that still have to hash things out. Kind of, like I said, kind of like the Senate and the House in the U.S., but not exactly. So, it was reported on Tuesday that Germany's largest bank, Deutsche Bank, the one that, I'm going to get into it, I don't like them very much, applied for a digital asset custody platform license with the German finance regulator, the Federal Financial Supervisory Authority, or in Germany, the BFIN, the BaFin, during the semi-annual hearing of monetary policy held in the Republican-led House Financial Services Committee by Patrick McHenry, in Republican of North Carolina, on Wednesday. This is, by the way, this is now back in the U.S. That was Germany, now we're in the U.S. Fed Jerome Powell said the U.S. Central Bank should play a robust federal role in crypto regulation and added that Bitcoin has staying power. We did talk about this on Wednesday. While implying that the same about stablecoins. Someone's in favor of this. Finally, XRP progenitor Ripple was granted an in-principle payments license in Singapore. Ripple has long felt heat from U.S. regulators. A lawsuit against, of course, the SEC, has been ongoing since 2020, and like Coinbase, the company is now hedging its bets through global expansion. That is, get the heck out of Dodge, because Dodge won't take it. Move somewhere else. Anyways.
All right.
That wraps up the coins. We can move on to real news now.
FTX sues to reclaim $700 million Bankman-Fried allegedly spent on celebrity connections. Ooh. Be surprised? I'm not. Knew that something was going to happen. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, SBF has been pretty much just using the funds to boost his own ego, right?
Yeah, but I mean, remember, was it Maxine Waters? He came out of her office and said she was like spiling and he was spiling, and it's like, did they actually each other, or was it just a big payment thing? Because I mean, she's like his grandma, so it just felt like that she, you know, obviously he made her happy, but probably not the way that it looks like they did. But you know, he's her boy toy in the sense of he's giving her crap tons of money. So she likes the money. She likes the big bucks, not the big dicks. The big bucks. So yeah.
So FTX. According to the lawsuit, Bankman-Fried met Keeves at a posh dinner full of high-profile guests, including multiple billionaires and a former presidential candidate back in February 2022. And yeah, I think there's enough evidence there showing that he's pretty much been paying people off.
But he spent $750 million paying people off.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
He basically said, I have this big bank account behind me with $30 billion in it. And it's all mine. I can do what I want with it. I mean, they did. That's what they literally did with the money.
Yep. Customer funds, bro. Customer funds.
It's not your money. You have to respect it.
And so for SBF, like after this whole thing busted, just for him to go out and be like tweeting, hey, yeah, I'm just at home playing video games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's on house arrest, right? So, yeah, it's not, I don't know how to put it any other way to say that this guy is so full of himself, I'm surprised he doesn't weigh more.
But what was it? He did have 5 charges dropped last week or two weeks ago?
Yeah, just last week.
He still has 8 charges left to go.
But that was, yeah, it's really up to the Bahamas to determine those charges. So, yeah, Bankman-Fried's in a load of, I guess the best way to put it is crypto shit. But in any case, it's not his money, and he spent a lot of it. I honestly don't think they're going to get the $700 million out of him.
Well,
even if he spent the rest of his life trying to make it up, how is he going to find $700 million?
By any chance, can the courts do like crawlbacks from the people that received those?
Maybe, but I mean, it's only if they're willing to do it. I know that we read this several months ago, like March or February, that Sam Bankman-Fried paid himself $3.2 billion. Mm-hmm. That was his, quote, salary. Whereas every single other person in his institution, and in the limited, 15 or 30 people they had hired, got either, I think the most was either the IT guy or the finance guy who got $1 billion. But nobody got anywhere close to that. I mean, his CEO, his quote-unquote girlfriend, she got $60 million. That's it. I mean, I realize that's a lot of money, but compared to how much he paid himself, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And yet she was the, quote, CEO. So it's like, It's like the cojones on this man are, as big as his ego. So I would guess he probably does still have some cash, and that's the reason they're suing him. They're probably like, we know you have at least $2 billion left over. You haven't spent it all. You used to drive a beat up Honda. So he didn't spend money on himself. He seemed like he was a schmooze kind of guy. He was just spending money on other people to get favors. So,
yeah, and maybe those favors are paying off now. That's why he's having those charges dropped. Well,
maybe, but at the same time, he's still there's his own company is suing him for $700 million to get all his money back. So we'll see. Moving on, we're gonna talk about the Zuck Elon UFC thing.
Where is it? There it
that
is.
Was you wanted to... supposed to be the first article, but that's fine. We'll get to it.
Okay.
So. Anyways, this isn't exactly crypto-related, but it kind of is. So, will Elon Musk fight Mark Zuckerberg in a cage? You can bet on it, and that's the key to this article, the reason it's crypto-related. So, yes, I think everybody by now, if they're not, even if they're not following on Twitter, has found out about this gauntlet throwdown between Musk and Zuckerberg, where, I'm pretty sure it was Musk who started it, because he's the kind of person who would. Zuckerberg has apparently had some training in martial arts and is very willing to fight Elon Musk.
Yeah.
We talked about this before the show and basically discussed whether or not Elon Musk would be a worthy fight. Honestly, I think Zuckerberg would knock him out on the first round within the first 2 minutes. And I don't bet, but I'm still pretty sure that's going to happen. If they even get in the ring. So go ahead.
Even though there's a polygon vote going on right now,
yep.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's a lightning or other chains. There's gonna be multiple chains doing betting on this, dude.
Yeah.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah. So right now it's the poly market that people are betting on, and right now I think the highest bet was $57,000 effectively. So a lot of people are betting on the market against or for one of these two men as to who's going to win. And of course it is a big event. I mean, we're talking about two multi-billionaire, CEOs who both seem like geeks to me, but Zuckerberg has been desperately trying to change his persona in the world in general. I mean, somebody had said, no two people on the planet have fucked the planet more than these two men, and yet they're gonna fight. I mean, it would be interesting to see if they killed each other, because then it would be just another couple of billionaires dying in a stupid cylinder.
or just put them in a submersible.
That's what I'm saying. Remember, the UFC ring is an octagon, and it's cylindrical looking, so it would be two more billionaires dying in a cylinder. This is a vertical one that's on top of the ground instead of underwater. But,
ouch. This is Sparta!
They punch each other in the heart and they both die. Anyways, I don't think that'll happen to Zuckerberg. Honestly, I think Elon has no chance. And if he even steps in the ring, which I sincerely doubt he will, I think Zuckerberg will beat the living snot out of him. So
my prediction is that's going to be a sissy fight.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a sissy fight. No, it's going to be I stuck my finger. Oh, stop hitting me. But I'm just saying that I think Zuckerberg could probably take him. And like I said, I'm not going to bet on it because I don't do that. I don't bet, but I would say, a verbal bet of, I think the odds are strongly in Zuckerberg's favor, which I never would have thought before now, but having seen what he's done, I think it's more likely.
So Zuckerberg has 1 year of experience or training experience in jiu-jitsu, Well, Elon Musk has street training from street South knowledge. Africa.
Yeah, from South Africa when he was a kid. Right.
But, so yeah, I think maybe Elon should get into some conditioning.
Yeah, I think he's already doing it.
He will be winded. Oh yeah, I mean if this is legit, I'm sure he's got the best trainer out there, man.
Yeah.
I would like to see some behind the scenes video of that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I'm definitely gonna like take the day off and just watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that all 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, who's gonna win? Is it gonna be AI or the metaverse?
Anyway, skipping on to some more, just to make the point though, the whole reason this article is even in our news is because people are betting on crypto on this fight. So, assuming it's even going to happen, which it may not. So, SEC, want to talk about that one?
Yeah, SEC approves first leveraged Bitcoin futures ETF. All right, what do we have here? So the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission approved the first leveraged Bitcoin futures ETF. So I did see this. I don't know what that even means. I explain to me what's going on here, because this came out. What was it? Yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, Friday.
Friday, right?
Yeah, on Friday, and I was I don't follow stocks like that. Yeah, so when I hear leveraged futures ETF, I'm like, leveraged? I know there's already
okay. So leverage ETF is like multi-X. Like in this case, they're talking about 2X. You know, in the beginning, when I first got on BitMEX, they were doing 100x and 1000x leveraging. But this is Bitcoin futures, not spot trading, spot trading. And the thing about Bitcoin futures is at least what tends to happen, at least in my experience looking at futures in general across the board, not just Bitcoin, but any futures on any market, is that because people are buying ahead, they're saying, I bet, that's the concept here of a future, that yet, let's say 6 months down the road, Bitcoin will be at this price. I will put money down, let's say, 100 grand, on that. I expect the price of Bitcoin to be at 100 grand in 6 months. I'm going to put 100 grand down on that. And leverage means that you don't have to put all your money down. You can put whatever the leveraging is down. So if it's 2X or 4X, then the market is picking up the difference. And of course, if you're wrong, then you have to pay the difference. So the thing that futures tends to do for a market is it tends to stabilize a market, which is very good. So what's going to likely happen, although because remember, markets typically were based on nations and not on the world. So since there's no such thing as a leveraged future or a Bitcoin future for the world, it just doesn't exist. There's no company that does it. You can't really, perfectly force Bitcoin to become a certain price. Now, the U.S. is one of the largest investors in investment groups, the countries that invest in Bitcoin in general. So there will be a much heavier hand of leveraging on Bitcoin futures in the U.S. now that the SEC has approved it. But it won't perfectly balance. I mean, not that futures ever perfectly balances markets anyways, but it tends to give investors a better idea of what will likely happen. Because if people are willing to put, let's say more than 100,000, let's say people are willing to put $10 million down on futures of what the price will likely be in either a week or a month or 6 months, then they're much, much more likely to help stabilize the market. So I think this is a good thing in the sense, like you said, it'll help Bitcoin become a more flat-rated coin and that more people can trust it for a reasonable price because people are betting that it's going to be a certain price in the future. And if they're willing to put money down on that, then it's going to have more validity. So it's a good thing, in my opinion, to help stabilize Bitcoin.
Thanks, Yvette Carr, for the follow. Appreciate it. Yeah. He really appreciates you you explaining this whole leveraged Bitcoin futures ETF because it's a way over my head.
It's not really that complicated, but it's not something I've ever personally gotten into because to me that kind of betting is just too volatile. Now, obviously, when it comes to futures, there's still a percentage estimation of what that will probably be. And so people will bet based on that expectation. The problem I have with Bitcoin is we have no idea where it's going to be in 6 months. Now, if this Bitcoin, leverage futures is only like a day out or a week out, yeah, that might be easier to call. You know, person could bet, like, right now it's at 30,500 roughly, right? Or maybe 30,200. Let's say they're going to bet that at the end of next week, the price will be at 32. That means that you, when you do bet, then you, of course, get that at that price. But if it's like much, much higher, then you get to buy lower. And if it's much, much lower, then you have to pay, and then it could cost you a lot. So the betting, like I said, tends to cause markets to become more stable because people are expecting a price in the future to be a certain thing. And if it isn't, those people have to, you know, put up or shut up. So anyways, I'm enthusiastic about this. I'm glad it actually happened because I think it may actually lead to the BlackRock spot ETF more likely. At least I think that's what people are also going to bet on. So I mean, there's no betting for that. All right, maybe there's a bet news for that. I don't know where it is. All right, let's move on to the BitGo thing.
Right. BitGo cancels Prime Trust acquisition, users report frozen withdrawals. Huh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
BitGo was actually proposing to buy out Prime Trust. And after looking at their their documents, they realized, oh, Prime Trust is actually insolvent. We're gonna back out of this. This just doesn't look like something that we can support, and we're not really going to be able to profit off this. In fact, if we buy them out, we're going to lose out a lot of money because we need to balance everything and use our own money. It doesn't make sense. So probably that's why BitGo decided.
What CZ was doing to all those other different companies when he's like, hey, we're interested in these companies. Let's look at their financials. Oh, shit, they're bad. Let's not do that.
Yeah. So they're bad, and all of a sudden now Prime Trust is out here like, yeah, users, you're not going to be able to withdraw until we can figure out what we're going to do. And yeah, so this is all like breaking news. People are still trying to find out what's going on. Hey, I want to take my funds out of there. You know, no, I don't know. We're going to see if it goes under. We'll see what happens tomorrow because this is not, BitGo is still not officially under. But considering that I want to say ledger, right? Can I say ledger? Their docks all underwater. So yeah, neither it or Bitcoin immediately responded for comments. Yeah. Okay, Coin Metro announced on Twitter that the client should be aware of unexpected disruptions in USD transactions. We know that. Yeah, Prime Trust lists a number of cryptocurrencies that supports, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, Tether. Otherwise, Twitter. Although the state of the currency financial situation matters, Prime Trust remains one of the last four crypto banks left standing. Silvergate, Silicon Valley's, so it's Silvergate, Silicon Valley, and Signature Bank were the top three crypto-friendly institutions that operated within the legacy banking system. But in the past couple of months, it has been allegations that regulators were picking them off one by one because of their ties to the industry.
Well, not just that, but the interest rates are so damn high. They can't, all the money that they loaned out is no longer valid. So I have to pay back this massive amount because of the interest rate change. So it really is kind of the end of all these, you know, low cost loans that people are putting out because interest rates are so ridiculously high. It's literally ruining these institutions. They did not properly hedge their accounts. I mean, this kind of harkens back to Trump changing the rules during his presidency and making it so that these banks didn't have to have as much cash on hand. But I don't, you know, Trump couldn't have predicted that the Fed was going to make the interest rates go to 6.5%. So it's not really his fault. It's just that he reduced regulation to make it easier for this to happen, and these people got themselves in trouble.
So. Even though this happened, this news article is out now. This has actually been going on for almost a month. This happened on June 8th when this whole deal was trying to go through. And coincidentally, like right after BitGo made this proposal, like, hey, we want to buy out Prime Trust. Well, the banking institution that was connected with Prime Trust actually went filed for bankruptcy. So Bank, a Nevada-based crypto payments and savings platform, and Prime Trust subsidiary filed for bankruptcy following the allegations of mismanagement and legal woos. The banking documents, Bank listed $17.72 million in assets and $5.4 million of liabilities. Vaporized.
Now, crypto isn't really helping that much. If they waited just a little bit longer and the price of crypto went back up, maybe trust would have returned.
So this is where we're at, man. That's why. What's the most important rule?
Never spend more than, or no, never invest more than 10% of your net worth.
And?
Not your keys, not your crypto.
Yes. Buy our T-shirts.
So, last bit of news. You can earn Bitcoin playing over 100 Android games. ZBD's new app now supports popular mobile games, including Dragon City and Slotomania, that pay you Bitcoin for each minute you play. Now, to be clear, it might be Bitcoin, but we're talking about Satoshis of Bitcoin. Probably one Satoshi per minute. I'm not sure 100% what that is. I used to play a couple of games that did pay to play, and they were fun. I personally enjoy playing solitaire, and they had a solitaire game. I really enjoyed playing that game. They also had a Connect 4, and they had a Tetris clone. Love those games. They're old classic games that I used to play as a kid, and so just playing the games, I earned Satoshi. Now, it wasn't very much. I played for a full year, and I might have made, you know, like at the time, 0.1 Bitcoin. No, not 0.1, 0.001.
0.1
Bitcoin. 0.001. Yeah, I was like, wow. I meant to put more zeros in there. It wasn't a lot. I think it might have, like I said, it might have been 100,000 Satoshis. But if you already like playing the games and then you get paid on top of it, why not, right?
Yep, exactly.
So the fact that they have over 100 games, Android games in particular, that's just that many more options. If you don't happen to like playing the games that you know, the dumb games that you're not really interested in, there's something else for you. Now, I'm personally not interested in Slotomania because it's just a, you know, Vegas-style slot game. But there's plenty of options, and these guys give them. So I would say you could check out ZBD and see what they have. They definitely have Solitaire, so...
And like if you don't like playing games and you like podcasts, I would actually just recommend downloading the Fountain Wallet.
Fountain Wallet. Yes, that's
listen to us, man. Listen to the podcast.
You get paid to listen. It's such a brilliant idea. Yes. So yeah, it's kind of a neat thing. It's like it's a way of enticing people into your platform in a way that doesn't pay a lot, but it pays something. I mean, I guess the payments in the past was the knowledge you may have gained or the fun or the entertainment you have gained from playing a game or listening to a podcast. But now they're actually willing to pay you not cold hard cash, but real money, which is crypto. So, as they say...
Which I like better.
Pardon?
Which I like better.
Yeah. Listen to our podcast. Get paid to listen. It's pretty cool. With that, we appreciate everybody who has listened to us today on the podcast itself or through Twitch. And if you're listening to us through Spotify or one of the other subgroups that this podcast distributes to, we appreciate you there too. If you can in any way, shape, or form show your appreciation, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening and or watching. You can donate to us in multiple ways. That is through Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, Tron, Monero, Binance, Library. And of course, you can do a library just by watching a library, but... Raven or Evermore. Of course, you can also do it in Lightning. You can check us out, as John said, on Fountain or Noster. Noster is what? More of a Twitter clone. Check us out on Odyssey. If you really want to pay us in fiat, we don't mind. PayPal works, or buy me a coffee. You can also check out our additional content, both pre-show and post-show, as well as all of our like extra content for interviews on our Patreon channel. Cheap. The lowest level is $5 fiat. Sorry, it's only fiat. I haven't figured out how to get Patreon to allow people to pay in Bitcoin or Lightning. You can check out our website or the various places that Spodcast, that's a new word. Spotify podcast broadcasts too, as well as Twitch. And you can check us out on Discord and collect C3 Media tokens and talk to us, literally, directly talk to us if you want to get in contact with us when we're not broadcasting. So thank you everyone for listening and or watching and or thumbs up. We appreciate that too. As we say at the end of every single show, stack sats and huddle.
Adios.